This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. We're in the seventh inning stretch here as we open up hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105 through the Fan in baseball paradise. Seriously, about 80 degrees here in Surprise. Our radio coverage all week long brought to you by our friends at ASCO Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960, and it's brought to you by the on-time experts, air conditioning and plumbing, same-day service guaranteed. Woolchuck's top 10 at 420 is coming up. You have a lot of stuff going on in the association. We will get a basketball rim session here before the afternoon is over. Of course, LA Live's coming up at 540, but right now, if you're a Tolo, you do know already our morning show, Sean and RJ, Bobby Bell, they have been in Indianapolis last couple of days doing their show from the Combine, and Sean Sharif joins us now here on your home of the Cowboys. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
What's up, fellas? I'm doing pretty well. I put the Uber to the side for the pregame drinking just for this phone call, so life will be better in about 20 minutes.
Are you okay? Okay, so I heard this tease that Bobby's not sleeping tonight. What are you guys getting into?
So we're going to this one bar at the hotel where all the big dogs stay. So we're going there to pregame for me to sightsee, because I still like to have my head on a swivel. You know, I still get starstruck. And then we're going to go to dinner at the main place that they all talk about. Last night we did this, shrimp cocktail at St. Elmo's. And then we are going to smoke some cigars with some people who are not to be named until maybe later. And then we're going to go back to the dinner place where apparently Todd Archer and everyone stay until 3 o'clock in the morning to shut it down until the next day's activity. So that is the agenda for tonight. That'll start in about 30 minutes.
Okay, so I heard Archer with you say the 3 a.m. deal. Is the plan to make it till 3 a.m.? Are you going to be able to manage this?
No, not my plan. I think it's Bobby's plan. This has happened, so Spittle, if you're listening, take the blood pressure medicine, because this has happened twice in the past with Bobby at the Super Bowl party that we all saw. He shows up drunk on the air. I learned my lesson years ago at the New York Super Bowl when I sound like I had no teeth talking because I was still messed up. But no, I can't do that. I'm looking at about 12:30 is my cap, but Bobby wants to put in that connection time. Last night he and Choppy were tired. I was ready to go. So Bobby said, nope, and we're going to go ahead and shut it down. He's got his magic prescription bottle all ready to go. And I think Bobby is going to he's going to show up tomorrow extremely, extremely buzzed. So, boss, be prepared.
Wow, this should be a lot of fun. Could be electric, and Surprise Stadium was just electric as the teenage phenom Sebastian Wolcott went deep to left field. Ooh. Sean, it was pretty amazing.
Nice.
You missing the baseball at all?
No.
So what's different about NFL Combine Radio Row compared to the Super Bowl? Set the scene for us.
Great question. Out here, I feel like you can actually be productive. Like at the end of the show today, Mike Tannenbaum was just like waiting for his interview, and we're like, "Hey, Mike, you got 10 minutes? Home of the Cowboys," and you know he had to sit down because of the Brian Broaddus connection. Out there, you know, Super Bowl is just a, you know, it's a big show, right? Like everyone's running around with their handlers. People are just trying to sell their product. They're not trying to like actually sit down, I don't think, and talk football. Whereas here, it feels like everyone in the room and the room behind us where Brian Schottenheimer just had his presser and Travis Hunter spoke earlier, that's directly behind us. It feels like some people actually stop down and talk and they're a little bit there more for football. So I think you can get a lot more production out of this versus the big glitz and the glam and the parties. Like, these people are going to get drunk and talk. You know, I don't know why they're talking to all the reporters and the insiders, but maybe they're looking to vent, but I feel like it's way more productive than the Super Bowl, even though the Super Bowl has a lot of glitz and glamour.
Sean Sharif here with you on the Fan, guys.
What was your big shoddy takeaway? I know you guys were just soaking in the presser.
So I had a lot of takeaways. Number one, it does sound like Osa is about to get done. Like Schottenheimer gave one of those responses where he's like, yeah, like we're right there. You never want to say anything until it's final. But I took that as basically 98-99% done. Some of the reporters here do think the number will come in under Mike Fish's reported $21 million. But I'm taking it as that is done with Osa. You know, he wasn't asked about culture, which we're all focusing on with Mike McCarthy. He brought it up, though, on his own. He said most of the day is spent walking the halls, quote, that's a part of changing the culture and knowing guys on a deeper level. And it actually took me back to McCarthy with one of his Friday interviews with us. He didn't know, like, we had to explain to him DeMarcus Lawrence's nickname. Like, he did, and I'm not making the biggest deal of this, that he didn't know it was Tank, but like I think we were a good amount of time into this, and he's like, who's Tank? Like, who are you referring to? And I think Brian Schottenheimer believes that knowing that type of stuff, he talked about his love for Dak, and he's like, we're not talking X's and O's. I want to get to really know these guys as men and connect, and that will help improve the culture. So I think that was an inadvertent comparison. I won't say shot. You can say shot if you want. It was an inadvertent comparison to the Mike McCarthy culture. And I got to say this, you know, my biggest takeaway, and this, you know, RJ would say this is naive and this doesn't really matter because you can trick people in interview settings. Y'all, I had the same reaction to the Brian Schottenheimer hire as everybody else. Man, I love the guy's personality. Like, I absolutely love it. I did agree with Bobby with some of the Mike McCarthy criticisms. And obviously, you know, Bobby took it to another level of pettiness, but I did agree about some of the insecurities and some of the tough guy machismo stuff that didn't feel real with McCarthy. Guys, this guy is genuine, and he is going to absolutely be able to connect. So I left that being charmed by Brian Schottenheimer's personality, like, big time. One other thing, he talked about, you know, I think one of the Tolos nicknamed him R2P2, like run twice and then punt, for that conservative dinosaur offense that we labeled him as in Seattle. He talked about having to agree to disagree with Pete Carroll, where Brian got in trouble a little bit, he said, for letting Russ cook. He laughed at that as a joke, but then he circled back around and he made it known he wanted to throw and Pete wanted to run. So if you're worried about, and there's a lot of talk about the run game, if you're worried about this conservative run game and boring offense, I think Brian Schottenheimer sent a little bit of a statement today that he wants to open it up and he wants to throw the ball around.
We had Schottenheimer on, was that last year in Oxnard?
And awesome interview.
I mean, we had a similar type of feeling like, wow, this guy's personality and communication and leadership style, it was surprising at the time that, you know, he seemed to check the head coach box there in a big way. And now it's starting to get exciting with, you know, some of the hires that he's making and his philosophy. It is interesting to know, though, I'm not sure how to react to that he wants to pass more. I'm hoping we get a full-on commitment to running the ball at least very efficiently. That's got to be a big priority for me, Sean. How about you?
Yeah, you know, Tannenbaum told us today, like, it would not surprise them one day the Cowboys throw it 32 times and one day the Cowboys run it 32 times. I think when we keep talking about offensive line and running the football and finding the running back with his traits and then throwing the football, like, really we're all just getting back to the word balance, right? Like, everybody wants to have balance. And I think when you look at that Nick Harris list of Cowboy visits, unofficial, whatever it is, There's a lot of D linemen on there. And with this priority of re-signing Osa, and then today Schottenheimer talked about focusing on the second-year offensive lineman. He was asked if, you know, BB is going to move up front. He's like, too early for that now, but I'm really focused on the second-year O-lineman. He said Tyler Guyton, he singled him out. He said he's been in the weight room every single day, and he looks freaking awesome. So I think they just want to check all the boxes. Like everyone says this stuff, right? They want to be more physical. They want to be – he said – you got to be able to run the football when people know that you're running the football. We always say that about the 90s Cowboys, right? Everyone knew it was coming to Emmett, and no one could stop it. And then they want to be more physical and stop the run while also throwing it. So I think we're just really talking about balance with a tougher football team.
Sean Sharif, live from the Combine in Indy, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Is this living up to your expectations so far?
You know, the one thing, I think that's why Bobby shut it down last night. You know, he had hyped us up, and he expected, he knew I wanted to go out and see, you know, Brian Schottenheimer over here, and I wanted to see Chris Ballard over there, and I wanted to see all the GMs, and I want to see all the head coaches, and I want to see the owners at Shake Shack or wherever Brada said we need to camp out fast food-wise. That was not there last night, so I was a little bit disappointed last night. But that's why Bobby's saying this may take until 1 or 2 in the morning to check off everything, to see everyone out and about. We may have to go to 4 or 5 places, and that's what we're going to try to do. That's the only thing that's come up short a little bit.
Yeah, you will see people, though, the later it gets in the week, you will see people, because what they're doing is they're working on their interviews and things like that. Yeah. What you need to do is hide out right by where they have the walkthrough, where they come back, where those guys go from the hotel to back, or from the where the player hotel is back to their own hotels, because that little 5-minute walk right there, you can learn a lot about your team in that little area right there.
Yeah, these guys, man, like, I'm like, are you going out? And they're all like, on their like 4th or 5th night, so I think they're getting a little worn down. We're here for 2 days and this is our final night, but they have to go out. They feel like they have to go out and spend all these hours, because people talk and they get the information. You just got to find the right spot.
I was blown away that you got Bobby to eat that shrimp, dude.
You know, all you have to do with him is dare him. You know, he's such a child. Like, all you got to do is say, you won't do it. Like, I told him tonight, you're not going to stay out. You're not going to go hard. And all you got to do is, it's reverse psychology with Belt. You know, all you got to do is dare him, and he'll end up doing it. He actually took that horseradish the best of all of us. I liked it, and I like spicy stuff, but I was probably 3rd on the list. Choppy was 2nd, but Roberto took it. He took it number 1 right there.
I like the fact you kind of gave him ground rules, like, you know, hey, don't do this, don't do this, just eat the shrimp. I saw Jeff Lurie almost leave us doing exactly what you just did to him. Yeah.
Like, well, they say Jerry allergy. Uses that as the prank. Jerry takes prospects and he feeds them the shrimp cocktail and then watches them burn alive.
Yeah, that's it. I saw you what you did when you took it. You were like, okay, and then you started slapping the back of your head. You know, were you going numb there a little bit? What was going on?
Yeah, it crept up there a little bit. You know that I won't order Chinese food unless it comes with that homemade hot mustard. I'm not talking about that yellow mustard generic crap. It's got to be the stuff that comes in the little plastic cups. It's got to burn you, man. Like, it's got to burn you good. And it's a little sadistic, but if you like horseradish, you like shrimp cocktail, it did have a good flavor. So it did actually live up to the hype. It wasn't just hot as hell. It had a good flavor to it. It better be for $20 for 4 of them.
Oh, no question about that. Hey, Sean, I'm kind of getting the idea that Will McClay seems very, very happy that Brian Schottenheimer is now the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm curious if you had heard anything different, that maybe Will and Mike didn't get along great all the time.
Well, okay. Let me decide here. Two things. I'll give it to you. Yeah. Number one, I had heard that at times, like, maybe Mike was not as checked in and honed in with 100% laser focus during some of the scouting sessions. Like, maybe he'd be looking down at his phone or doing something else, and then he'd kind of look up and see the good play that a player made, and he's like, look at that. Like, let's get that guy.
Selective scouting?
Yeah, while they're scouting.
Yeah.
You know, so they're showing a player, and maybe there's like 3 bad plays. Maybe Mike wasn't totally locked in. He looks up for the good play. Well, you don't get the whole picture, right?
Right.
So then your head coach is not watching the full entire.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Story, but when you talk about Will McClay's happiness, this is a big future prediction bombshell I'm going to drop. I was told, and this is from the person who gave me the Schottenheimer news. This person told me that when Jerry gives up the power, when Jerry is no longer in control, Will McClay is taking the wheel of this thing. That Charlotte Jones is probably going to be attending the owners' meetings, yeah. And Will McClay is taking over in Stephen Jones' basic role. Like, we all expect Stephen to step in, and everyone's worried and afraid of that. Sure. I was told that Will McClay is actually going to be really in that driver's seat. That's what that last contract was kind of set up for. So if that's the case, I think we should all be pretty happy about that possibility if and when it comes, and Will McClay would obviously be happy about that too, if true.
I needed some optimism. That's giving me optimism,
go.
Sean.
There you go. There you go. There you go. I'm like Jay Glazer, man. I only come out for the big stories. You know, I leave all the little.
That's why we sent you to the combine.
I leave them little transitions to Todd Archer now.
Well, good luck tonight, seeing who you want to see, and best of luck in the morning with Bobby, dude. I think that's appointment radio.
Thank you, boys. Keep killing it. Love you. Thank you.
Salute.
Love
there you. He is. Again, they're going out, and Bobby saying all-nighter. which who knows what that could mean by the time you get to showtime tomorrow morning.
He's
that's like
be
5 o'clock
on air, man.
Indianapolis time. It'd be wild and unpredictable, especially when he taps into that little pharmaceutical assistance he can get. You know, he goes totally wheels off. Okay, it's time for Wolchuk's top 10 at 4:20, buddy. Where are you taking us?
Well, it was a stunner. Gene Hackman passing away today. We do have some details on that, but we've got the top 10 best Gene Hackman movies. 877-881-1053. What was your favorite? That's next in the Nation.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan Live at spring training, where the Rangers have the bases juiced. They are loaded, and the rookie phenom, Sebastian Wolcott, by some people's estimation, a top five prospect in all of baseball, just went yard last inning to left field, about 400 feet. He is about to step into the right-hander's batter's box and take on this shrimp out here for the Mariners. I don't think he's got much chance. But, yeah, the Rangers are having themselves a day here against the Mariners. I think they're up 7-8 nothing or something by now and could be a
seven
whole lot
nothing,
more.
Yeah.
It's exciting when Wolcott gets in there, though. He's got a lot of power. Okay, segments brought to you by the Frankels. You've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Franklin Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here he is, Zach with an H, your Woolly Bully.
Thank you very much. We will do the top 10 Gene Hackman movies in honor of him. And what is a crazy story that went down today. We are tonight going to be going out as a team to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers, which is a fine sports bar establishment here in the Arizona area.
Perfect name.
Now, they're opening one in Euless. So next Thursday, we're going to be partying out there as well. Lucius is going to be partying with us. I'm excited to check out this menu. Now, Ruben's, like, burgered out. So Ruben's thinking, like, I don't know. I might pivot, do, like, some Chinese or something. But, Brian, I don't know if you noticed yesterday when we went shopping for the food for Jared's deal last night. We were talking about, like, what are we going to have? And we were deciding, okay, burgers, Philly cheesesteaks. And I'd already known Ruben was a little burgered out. So Eric brought up burgers. I don't know, man. I don't think we should do burgers. He got, like, borderline offended. Come on. Okay.
It's the king of ground beef
burgers.
Over there.
We're getting burgers. Okay, you can get something else if you want. Yeah. But you at least better have some damn, like, could you eat a burger every single day of your life?
I could, yes. Absolutely. And I was just, I'm like, burgers are just, and not that everybody has to eat burgers.
We can get ground beef.
We can get a bunch of other stuff as well,
beef, right?
But why not have some burgers? But then Brada suggested the Philly cheesesteaks, and then I was like, okay, now we've leveled up, and I'm good. I'm good. Now we got to have some beef, though. We can't just be doing a bunch of chicken breasts.
Gotta
so
have
drunk Bradas can dry those things out, you know?
Boy, I'll tell you what,
I
wanted nothing to do with cooking chicken with as how much I had to drink yesterday. So, no, I was not interested in doing that at all.
Well, this story this morning was pretty wild when it came to Gene Hackman, Oscar winner. His wife and one of their dogs apparently dead for some time before a maintenance worker discovered their bodies at the couple's Santa Fe home, according to investigators. Gene Hackman at 95 years old. His wife was 65. She was found in the bathroom next to a space heater. He was found in a mudroom, according to the sheriff's office.
What's a mudroom?
I don't know.
It's like a place where you come in, exactly what it says it is. Like when you in back in the day when you lived in the country, you had boots that were muddy. You had clothes that were wet. You had, you know. So it was a room where you could put all that stuff up, hang it up, dry it out. But he probably had a setup in there where he could probably get some rest. Maybe that's where he was sleeping.
It was like a room between your back door and the house. Okay. You know,
it's
like
where you clean up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You often have a bathroom or a little laundry room next to it or maybe even inside of it.
So there was an open prescription bottle and pills were scattered on a countertop near his wife. The sheriff said that there was no indication that they had been shot or had any wounds. Now, New Mexico Gas Company tested the gas lines in and around the home after the bodies were discovered, according to the warrant. At the time, it didn't find any signs of problems, and the fire department found no signs of a carbon monoxide leak or poisoning. A detective wrote that there was no obvious signs of the gas leak, but he did note that people exposed to gas leaks or carbon monoxide might not show signs of the poisoning. So I don't know exactly how this happened. Like, the dog also being deceased is another layer in this, but really just a heartbreaking deal. And unless maybe this was agreed upon between them? Like, are they going out Romeo and Juliet?
You know,
I think they would be holding hands or right in the same room together if they were going out together, right?
Yeah, it's a bizarre deal.
Do you think that she maybe she was doing something, the pills, and she fell into the gas, the heater, and knocked it? Something happened? Or maybe she took the pills and had a reaction, and it. She did something with the heater that caused it to maybe have the leak. It sounds like he sleeps in a whole nother room is what it sounds like. You know?
And
then you have the dog also. So you got to think there's some kind of leak.
That's the weirdest part is the dog factor of it all. Because I could
unless
see,
the dog was eating the pills.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I wonder if she just had it in her mind, like when my 95-year-old husband passes away, maybe he just died because he's 95, and so that was lurking around the corner. And then she just went ahead and said, "Okay, now I'm going to go ahead and follow through with because I'm out of here as well."
Yeah.
Pills go everywhere. Dog eats too many.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. You know, I trust the dog's nose pretty good. I don't know if they'll eat something with a strong chemical smell, but maybe you have to euthanize the dog because you don't want to put the burden on your family to take care of your, you know, trouble, high-maintenance dog.
Well, maybe did something with the dog before she actually did something with everything else.
It's just crazy because you can rule out, like, a breaking and murdering because otherwise they would have trauma on them. You know, and an accidental overdose, okay, that's one. But how do you explain it happening to both of them? I like Chief's theory where maybe old Jean kicks off and she's like, I can't go on without my hubby.
Mm-hmm.
So he was already gone.
And then
she circled back and said, I'm going to overdose on pills.
Yeah.
And then, okay.
At some point, she was half out of it, you know, needed more pills to make sure the job got done, and that's when they kind of got scattered.
Mm-hmm. Or she was taking them, and she fell, passed out.
Sure.
And the pills go all over the ground.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, she's obviously in a highly emotional state as well, so she might have been shaking and all kinds of stuff.
Well, we've got the top 10 Gene Hackman movies in honor of him, 877-881-1053. Hoosiers, obviously, was... talked about a lot. I mean, that got texted in a bunch. Behind Enemy Lines, underrated movie.
Oh, it's awesome. Terrific.
Very, very good.
Owen Wilson in like an action movie.
Yeah. Enemy of the State got texted in. Hoosiers, No Way Out, Unforgiven, getting texted in as well.
Enemy of the State was incredible.
Enemy of the State's an awesome movie. Honorable mentions here, we've got The Replacements, which should be higher. I mean, come on, it's The Replacements. Movie's incredible. Class Action, Get Shorty. You've got The Quick and the Dead. Runaway Jury, also outstanding movie.
Runaway Jury, I thought, was excellent.
Didn't make the top 10.
It didn't?
No.
Oh, my
Superman.
Gosh.
And he was Lex Luthor, and he was pretty good, although that movie stunk.
Yeah, it was too artsy. It was a bad time for movie making.
The Firm.
The Firm. That's the one I was trying to remember when he was the Memphis lawyer, right?
He was damn good.
Is Tom Cruise in that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
The Birdcage with Robin Williams. And then
that was an eccentric one.
Bonnie and Clyde comes in at number 11, just on the outside.
Crazy
of
story.
The top 10.
Oh, I don't know. Did Mark Church get hurt?
Oh, do we have an injury?
Our buddy Mark Church on the bump for the Rangers right now.
Please be okay.
I hope he's okay. We had a great clubhouse conversation with him yesterday. We're playing that coming up here in a few minutes, aren't we?
We are.
Yes, I do believe we're balancing that with Sands, who's going to join us at the immediate conclusion of this game.
So, Lucius, did you have any Gene Hackman movies you wanted to shout out?
He has a whole lot of great movies, but there's one that sticks out to me because it's kind of quirky, and it's, what's my guy? Wes Anderson. Wes Anderson movie, he directed it. Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, the Royal Tenenbaums.
That is.
And he was Royal Tenenbaum, you know what I mean?
I walked out of that movie, and I was like, what the hell just happened?
That happens a lot with Wes Anderson.
Maybe that's why I quit going to movies. I did.
That was your final straw?
I think I saw, like, someone goes, hey, let's go see the Royal Tenenbaums, and he's like, it's kind of weird, and he's wearing a tracksuit. There's a lot of things going on. And
it's fantastic, bro. You got a pregame for that movie. You know what I mean? You got to get ready for that. It's got the Wilson brothers both in it, Ben Stiller and Bill Murray.
Full beards. Wow. I kind of didn't know what was going on, and I just walked away like, what if I just...
Danny Glover's in it, I think, and let me Google that. I think there's a whole lot of stars in that joint, bro.
There is. Wes Anderson movies do end up having
the kids were weird.
Yes.
The kids were they were super weird.
Yeah, Ben Stiller's kids.
Yeah, I'm like, well, what are we doing here? You know, just... I think that's why I quit going to movies.
Damn. Looks like Church is okay. Back pitching there on the bone.
Thank goodness. That's our guy. We need you to be all right, Mark.
Wasn't he a Superman too? Right?
Lex Luthor. Number 10 is Enemy of the State.
French Connection too, by the way.
Yeah, French Connection. I texted in.
Crimson Tide, bro.
Yeah.
Crimson Tide. Number 9 is Absolute Power with Clint Eastwood. Number 8, Young Frankenstein.
Hey!
Yeah, you go back a long way.
You can go all the way back. I mean, 1971.
It's every decade. Yeah, 74. Then we go to 1972, The Poseidon Adventure.
Oh, Preacher!
Boat.
You're going the wrong way! Yeah, I remember that. That's that thing it capsized. He led him back to safety. He was a big time. He helped him out big time, getting him out of there. Yeah.
Number 6 is Crimson Tide, co-starring with Denzel.
Yeah, he had to retire after that one, after that command.
5 is Hoosiers.
Yeah, that fell apart, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it fell apart.
4 is Mississippi Burning with William Dafoe and Frances McDormand.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that one.
3 is Unforgiven, Clint Eastwood and Morgan Freeman.
Okay, that's a country and western kind of a thing, right?
It's a good Metallica record, too. But yes, the movie.
Yeah.
Number 2, The Conversation, directed by Francis Ford Coppola. Released in 1974.
Couldn't place it. 74? Sounds like it's got potential.
But number 1, voted as the best Gene Hackman movie, was indeed The French Connection.
Awesome. He was in Heist also.
Heist was an honorable mention.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Was it critically acclaimed?
I didn't mention Heist, so give it some love. But gosh, I mean, his catalog really is outstanding.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
Top 10 at 420 every afternoon here in the G-Bag Nation. Salute to ASCO Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960. And on board with us is our presenting sponsor of our Texas Rangers coverage live at spring training. Okay, you mentioned Mark Church Clubhouse Conversation. We have Sandler standing by when this game goes final, which it just did as well. So we'll get Sands and a Clubhouse Conversation for the ages coming up next. Football's finest at 5 o'clock, and we're back right here, the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you, Lucius. Jared Sandler is going to join us after a triumphant 8.5 innings of baseball. Rangers win 8-0 against your AL West rivals. We'll take it all in. But before we get there, let's go into the Rangers clubhouse where the nosebleed guys are with another uncomfortable clubhouse conversation subject.
Okay, we got to speed through this one, ladies and gentlemen. Uncomfortable conversations in the clubhouse with the stud, Mark Church. You have a meeting in 10 minutes. What is this meeting about?
I have no clue. It's a pitcher's meeting, so probably about, like, game review.
So do you ever have, like, botch stepping in there and having, like, a botchy moment in those meetings?
Nah. Maddox runs these meetings, so.
So Mad Maddox, man. You smell so damn good. I'm sorry, we'll try to continue, but you just smell phenomenal.
I thought maybe it was the coffee, but that tells way better than coffee does. What are you using?
Louis Vuitton.
Louis V, baby. Yeah. Okay, so Maddox is running these meetings. Mm-hmm. I mean, does he just dig into your ass from time to time?
Not really. He's more chill at these times. I don't know how he is during the season, for real. I haven't had much time with him, but. He's chilling.
How much of a prankster is he? Because if you know anything about his brother was a wild animal back in the day.
Yeah, he always has jokes. Every meeting, we end the meeting with a joke, so a dirty joke. So. Yeah.
Oh, a dirty joke. What's the best dirty joke that you can think of?
You know, they're pretty long usually, but I got one today, so hopefully I'll make everybody laugh if he calls them.
Everybody's got to go every day.
Yeah, everybody, like, he chooses one person to go every day, and he hasn't called me yet.
So you're waiting for your moment.
Yeah, I'm waiting for my moment.
Well, why don't you workshop it with us right now, man? Hit us with it.
All right. What do you get when you mix human DNA and goat DNA?
I don't know. What do you get?
Kicked out the zoo.
Boom.
All right, are you a gamer? We were just talking about Cash of Clans over there with some of your other pitching buddies.
Yeah, I'm for sure a gamer. I'm the best gamer.
Okay, so you're the best gamer on the team. What is your go-to game?
Fortnite. I play 2K. Fortnite and 2K.
Okay, have you played Seager in Fortnite? Because apparently Seager's a Fortnite guy.
I haven't played him in Fortnite, but he probably don't want to see me in Fortnite.
Ooh, are you a big trash talker?
Yeah.
You ever fight with, like, the little 12-year-old kids?
Yeah.
Tell them you're going to, like, f*** their mom and shit?
Yeah. I say way worse things than that.
Ooh, are you a MILF guy? Or, like, Wolchuk's more of a GILF guy.
Big GILF fan.
What's a GILF guy?
You know, like a grandma I like to
I'm a MILF guy, I guess.
What would you say is, like, the oldest chick you'd be down to, like, hang out with?
It depends, because you know who Bernice Burgos is? She's, like, 40 something, like mid 40s, and she's bad.
You know, I don't know who she is, but she sounds busty.
She's a total rocket. Are you on the dating apps? I mean, I imagine Mark Church on a dating app would be cleaning up.
The swagger and the sense that he's putting off. He doesn't need that.
Save some for the rest of us, Mark.
I can't get caught on the dating app. I can't.
Okay, so then how does a professional athlete go about? Like, you just organically, you see a beautiful woman, you just walk up to her and say, "Hey, I'm Mark damn Church."
I mean, kind of, yeah. I really don't try to tell her I play baseball initially, but if they ask for my Instagram, then they'll find out that way. But mm-hmm. I try to get them without trying to say to see how much riz I got.
What's the best opening line if you're gonna slide into a DM? I'm sure you got chicks in your DMs, but like when you
if I had to slide in the DM, what would I say?
Yeah,
eggplant emoji.
Nah, I wouldn't say nothing crazy like
drop him with the splash.
I hit him with the I don't know. It depends. I got some ways to.
Yeah, no, I bet the Riz God Mark Church with us here in the clubhouse.
Who was your first celebrity crush?
My first celebrity crush, Paige Hurd. What movie was she off of? I don't know. Paige Hurd. I still got a crush on her. So
still to this day.
Hopefully I can get
her. Maybe she's listening. You never know.
What's the female sport that is just generally the hottest?
Volleyball. Or track.
See,
volleyball or track.
The cakes.
Yeah, they are. We like looking at the cakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Put a candle on that cake.
If you could be a woman for a day, what's the first thing you'd do?
I guess. I don't know. I don't think I can say that.
He just started touching his chest. Do you notice how he started just touching his chest like that? You got to get to the meeting. Yeah. Hey, Mark Church. Dude, no, you're the man.
You. Right. Hey, thank you.
Hey, get some gold bond and tear it up.
There he goes, Mark Church with the Nosebleed Boys in the Rangers clubhouse. That's pretty awesome. I like that approach of trying to earn a woman's appreciation and admiration without telling her mm-hmm. you're a professional athlete, you know, just to kind of gauge it, save it for if
challenge
you need
yourself
it.
A little bit.
He wants to see how much Rizzy's got.
Yes, sir. As Jared Sandler joins us now here in the G-Bag Nation. Jared, how the heck are you?
I'm great, guys. You guys are the best. I love watching when those two go to work in the clubhouse, and their fascination with Gold Bond this week has been pretty impressive. And the fact that how many years have you guys been doing these interviews? Like three?
It's our third year.
No one's like punched you in the face yet. Everyone's down.
Yeah.
I did have a source in that clubhouse tell me that they were wondering if it was uncomfortable with the meat-gazing questions. Like, that might have gone over the line. But they said Chiafalo has a way of softening that.
Yeah.
That made it somehow appropriate.
It is amazing. Like, he can literally, like, go up to these people and probably tell them that he hates them and he hates their family and they're the worst people ever. They just laugh and be like, yeah. I mean, sure, like let's keep this conversation going. This is awesome.
It is. I think it's most entertaining for the players.
Yeah.
As they're watching this totally unique thing happen. Looked like Mally was dialed.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. I mean, weird game to pitch in with the haze. I mean, the air quality was awful, and you can kind of tell a little haziness, and then obviously most notably the wind. But he did a really nice job, and you know, was missing bats, and you know, for him to efficiently get through three innings is a nice step in the right direction.
How did Berger get that ball into the left field seats?
I have no idea.
That thing, when it left the bat, I'm like going, that thing's gone. And I looked up at the flags, and every one of them is pointing right. I don't know how he got that thing over the wall.
So he hit a ball hard earlier.
And
then in batting practice, I don't know if you got – no, I guess you guys
weren't here. We weren't here for that one.
So they were taking batting practice in the stadium.
We were in the clubhouse interviewing dudes.
Yeah, for sure. He hit a ball that, like, you see the trajectory of the ball, the sound of a ball to bat interaction from different viewpoints. You just kind of get a sense, like, that's gone, right?
Right.
And he hit a ball that I thought was going to go like 420 to left center, and the wind was so strong, it didn't even get close to the warning track. And I was thinking, there's no way anyone's hitting a ball out today.
Right.
And he just knifed through that wind. I mean, he's got, you know, legit power, obviously, but that was really impressive.
And Wolcott again. I mean, he got one. I was like, oh, man, my gosh.
Yeah.
And even the ball, he got the RBI on the ground out there in his last at bat. Like, it was a tough play.
Yeah.
I mean, that, so to me, you know, he's making contact with the ball, and, you know, those things are all very, very positive, I guess.
Yeah, no, for sure. But that home run, I mean, that right there puts, you know, on display the power that he has and why people think that, you know, he's got maybe the highest power
tools,
ceiling
yeah.
of any position player prospect in the top 100. And You know, he's got those levers, and he really knows how to use that to create some, yeah. Some juice off the bat, yeah. and you know the way he uses his body is really impressive.
He's from the Bahamas. How do they come across this guy?
Yeah, I mean they've got. Listen, the Bahamas is not a hotbed, but
no,
it's
what I'm about to say.
Area.
Did he play somewhere else?
It's a growing area. I mean, there are people that every organization's got some boots on the ground in the Bahamas. Mm. You know, Jazz Chisholm is an example.
Yeah.
The Bahamas, and then I'd throw Curacao in there as well.
You hear that a lot.
Yeah,
you do. Yep.
But yeah, the Bahamas is by no means that. You know, I don't know that they could field a competitive WBC team. Just you know, the island itself, but. It is growing. The Rangers have signed a few guys out of the Bahamas in recent years. Max Acosta is another, I believe, and it didn't quite work out for him. But Sebastian Walcott,
they hit one here.
What a find! And you know he's continuing to develop.
We got to have CY on earlier. He was awesome, per usual. You're a sports junkie. All right, you know a lot of organizations. You've been with the Rangers for a long time. Heck, you know the landscape we're dealing with now in DFW. How much of a blessing is it to kind of have a dude in CY who you know is just competitive as all hell? He even said blessing and a curse, but you know in working with this team, if something's not right, he's doing everything he can to fix it.
Yeah, the stability that the Mavs and Stars both have, or excuse me, the Rangers and Stars both have is something that I think we're appreciating, right? And yeah, you know, I go back to last trade deadline. There was a lot of talk about trading Nathan Eovaldi or not. And you can discuss the merits. I do believe that Nathan Eovaldi is wearing a different hat if he gets traded. Even though he's a free agent, I think it sent a message to him that, hey, they're not just going to punt,
yes,
right, at the first sign of trouble. And, you know, at this point in his career, and I think the way he's wired, you know, at all points in his career, that's been the case, but he wants to win. And he was going to get a lot of money no matter where he went, but felt good about the direction and the commitment to winning. But, you know, think about that. You know, the Rangers were on the outside looking in, and they could have sold, and they didn't. And again, you can debate whether that was the right or wrong move, but what you can't debate is that this is a front office that is going to go for it. And not necessarily recklessly so, but they care about winning, and they're smart enough to understand how to try and do it and not letting relationships or, you know, some of those things get in the way. It just, yeah, I think, you know, his intensity and focus on winning, it sounds simple because you think, you know, all GMs and you know, he's president of baseball operations, but all people in that role, that is their goal. And it is, but I don't think, I think what we've learned is that not everyone really has a clue on how to consistently do it. And, it seems like, you know, he's put together another really, really good roster that can compete at a high level. And, if Nico Harrison was in charge, I mean, it'd be the equivalent of, you know, being at the deadline and everyone's like, oh, the Rangers are in great position. Let's trade Corey Seager and Jacob deGrom for pick two good players because, you know, the GM liked them or whatever. I mean, it's just... I don't know. It's still so frustrating, but I am thankful that, you know, the Rangers are not an organization that's operated like that. It's a total dumpster fire.
Jared Sandler brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Go to advancedhair.com. Thank you so much, sir. We'll see you at dinner, right?
Yeah. See you, fellas.
Nice.
Bye, Jared.
Sounds good. Yeah, I cannot wait. We got 2 hours of show left to go, though, buddies. We have stories burning on multiple fronts. You got the NFL Combine going on, spring training here, Mavs game night, so much to talk about. Brian Schottenheimer addressed reporters. We'll have highlights of that for you coming up at 5:20 as we hit the expressway, LA Live at 5:40. But, Chief, what are we doing next?
Football's finest. We have Combine Scuttlebutt featuring draft trade rumors, prison food, and insider beef. That's next year in the nation. But